Hey, we're going to jump into our passage today that we've been studying. And it's out of the book of Matthew, and it's out of what we call the Kingdom Values, which is chapters 5 through 7. This is called the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to call it the Kingdom Values because I think that's what Jesus is doing here first early in his ministry. In fact, here's kind of an outline of, if you will, of the book of Matthew. This is one of 11 parts. The book is really very creatively and very ingeniously written. And the Kingdom Values, the Sermon on the Mount, is a discourse that he gives. And early in the ministry, he begins to say, here's what it's all about. You know, it's about knowing me. Eventually, we're going to find that we need to know him personally. But then he says, there's implications to knowing me. There's some meaning to that. There's some content. There's some substance. Here's what I want you to live out. Here are the Kingdom Values. And so he says it early in his ministry. And he says it for a couple of reasons. One, it's so we know how to live. But secondly, he says it that when we see that we fell short, that we need him. And then he brings us back around to saying, here's how I want you to live. Here's what I want you to do. So, as we talked about earlier on this next slide, the purposes of the law, they're really the law that God gave us in the Old Testament, and really reinforces in the New, is for several reasons. One, it reveals the holy nature of God. It reveals what he is like in his beauty. And secondly, it's even though it stirs up a tendency for us to rebel, it also helps us to live correctly. It also kind of gives us a restraint on how to live. And thirdly, it reveals that which is pleasing to God, and that which is pleasing to God in his design is good for your good and for mine. And it isn't amazing to us that we keep trying to violate what God has intended for us, thinking that we're going to do a better job than him, and we find ourselves at dead-end roads where it doesn't work. And you go, how'd I get here? What's going on? My life's a wreck. What do I do with it? So, there are three different kinds of law. We've covered this, but I want you to really understand this, that there's three different kinds of law in the Old Testament. There's ceremonial law, which we are not obligated to. Jesus, in fact, is to fulfill the whole thing. There's judicial or civil law. We don't live in a theocracy anymore. But there's also moral law. And the moral law, highlight this, it's the unconditional standards that form the eternal ethics of substance. Eternal ethics of substance. This is how life works. This is how I want you to live. This is what makes it all work. Really. The eternal ethics of substance for which Christ was willing to die so that we can obey from the Spirit rather than the flesh. He's going to give us the Holy Spirit to live it out. So, because it's one of the most important things that we do, right? As human beings, we are responsible to decide what moral values we're going to live out. And instead of making it up for ourselves, we adopt the one who created us. We adopt his moral value system. We go, wow, you designed me to live this way, and it works best that way. Wow, but we keep fighting it. Well, here's the big idea for today's passage in this thing called the Sermon on the Mount. Here it is. He's going to say this, simple and straightforward integrity and honesty reflects what God is like and paves the path for healthy and productive human relationships. Okay? Simple and straightforward integrity and honesty reflects what he is like, and it paves the way for good human relationships. So let's jump in and see. I'm just going to read this passage. It's verses 33 through 37 in chapter 5. And Jesus is going to say this. He's just following up his discussion about adultery and lust and divorce. And now he jumps into a whole new thing, though it has some connect. And he's going to say this. Again, so kind of new subject. Again, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all. Either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil. Now, you guys, in some ways, this seems like kind of an odd thing. Maybe not so culturally relevant because we don't talk a lot about oaths and living by oaths and doing this or doing that. But I think there's more to this for today than we see on the surface. So let's go back and highlight verse 33. It says, again, you've heard it said, among all the other things that you've heard it said, he says, you've heard it said, to those of old, in our history, in our background, in the heritage of our people in the Old Testament, he says, you shall not swear falsely. Don't make a promise or an oath that's false or wrong. But you shall perform with the Lord to the Lord what you've sworn, knowing he is your audience, your primary audience. But Jesus says then in verse 34, let's highlight this. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all. Don't even take any oath whatsoever. Now, there have been a lot of Christians, and let's ask this question on the next slide. Is this a biblical prohibition of all vows at all time? Is this saying, don't take any oath any way, anytime, anyhow? And really, the answer to that is no. And here's the point. It is a prohibition against playing religious games with truthfulness. Because what had happened in their day is they had developed this very sophisticated level of things that they would say and swear by, some of which were binding and others of which were not. But to make it sound good, they played all sorts of verbal games with people. Because the answer is no, this is not a prohibition. Because in the Old Testament, we find all sorts of people making oaths. Even God himself makes oaths. So let me just give you a few examples here. In Numbers chapter 30, verses 1 and 2, it says, Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the people of Israel. Their leader comes to these other leaders and he says to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. If a man vows a vow to the Lord, so he's not saying it's wrong. He says, if you make a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, if he invokes the name of God, if he does that, look at this, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds from his mouth. Hey, you guys, take it seriously. If you swear by God, and don't we do that even in our own world, right? When you go, and we call it sworn testimony, and you go into a court of law, and they're going to swear you in. And depending on where you are in the United States, it looks and sounds a little different, but fundamentally, do they say, do you affirm, do you swear, do you take an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And for some states, you can even say today still, so help me God. There are other places that have dropped that, and they say, under the pain and the penalty of perjury. I understand what I'm saying here, that I could get, if I'm not telling the truth, I will be committing perjury. And there are penalties for such thing. Wow. So he's saying, tell the truth here. And if you're going to invoke, you know, if you're going to say, so help me God, don't be saying that lightly. Okay, look at this in Leviticus chapter 19. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely. It doesn't say not to swear by his name. It says, just don't take it lightly. Don't do it falsely, or else there's a problem. And so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Don't take this flippantly, is what he's saying. Look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 30. There's a whole beautiful, beautiful chapter. I encourage you to read the whole thing. But he's kind of describing what life's all about. But at the end, he says this, therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he, and this is awesome, isn't it? For he is your life and the length of your days. Is that a beautiful statement? He is your life. He is the length of your days, every one of them, the whole part of it. Wow, that's an amazing thought. That he is the length of your years, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to his fathers, to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. You see, God even takes oaths. God makes commitments, unbreakable covenants. He swears by himself to make commitments. Wow, that's pretty powerful. God even uses oaths that he's unwilling to break because of the nature of who he is. That's incredible. Now, let's go back to our passage here. Jesus says, but I say to you, don't take an oath at all. And now what he's going to do is he's going to kind of dig into this very dysfunctional, very manipulative, very strange system of oaths that they had developed over the years. And so in verse 34, he's going to say, but I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God. So they were making oaths. I say, you know, I promise on the basis of heaven. And like, really, what's that? And he said, don't swear by heaven. Because the God of heaven is the one that you answer to, not by some sort of, you know, other smaller detail, heaven himself. Or he says, look in 35, or by earth, because earth is simply his footstool. Don't take a swear by the earth. Look at this in verse 35, or by Jerusalem. Now, you guys, Jerusalem is a big deal for a Jew. Okay, this is a big honking deal. This is Mount Zion. This is where God's holy residence is. They are so looking forward to the temple being rebuilt so God's presence can once again dwell among them. And so if you were to swear by Jerusalem, that's a big deal. And just so you know, for them, you could swear, if you said, I swear by Jerusalem, it was not a binding oath. If you swore toward Jerusalem, it was a binding oath. And so they had this very strange system of ways that you could make oaths and promises and swear to things, but some were binding and some were not. This one, or by Jerusalem, don't be saying that, for it's the city of the great king. It's the place of the residence of God. Wow. Look at this in 36. And do not make an oath by your own head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Now, we can today with hairdressers. But on the most part, you can't even change the color of your hair because God's in charge of that. God has made you who you are. It is really God. So I'm not going to swear by either the color on my head or the thickness of the hair on my head because that's always changing. He says, man, don't swear by that. And then look, and we'll wrap it up sort of here. Verse 37, let what you say be simply yes or no. You guys box that for a second. It's a big deal here, he's saying. Just say yes or no and mean it. Now, here in the Greek, this yes or no, it's doubled in the Greek. So we don't reflect that in our English translation, but basically what it says is let what you say be simply yes, yes. Let it be no, no. He's emphasizing it. That's the reason. And what it really means is this, is let your yes be yes. A truthful, honest yes. And let your no be no. A truthful and honest no. Rather than playing this religious game that happens, beginning to swear by this or by that, some binding, some not binding, and then everybody gets all weirded out by it, and Jesus says, it's fundamentally dishonest what you're doing. And you religious leaders have created this system among the people, and no one really knows what to trust or not. It's because he says this, after yes and no, anything more than this comes from, box it, evil. Okay, that's a pretty strong word, don't you think? Like, okay, I didn't tell exactly the truth. I kind of tell a little bit of a white lie. That's really what we're talking about. And he says anything more than simply a yes and a no is evil. Now, just so you know, this word evil, here's what it means. It means bad, wicked, malicious. Here's fascinating. It also means slothful, lazy, uncaring. It's a harsh word, isn't it? Slothful. If you don't tell the truth, you're simply slothful. Try to take that home with you. And it becomes manipulative. Clearly, it becomes very manipulative when we don't say the truth. We kind of play off our religious games, right? You know, in the scriptures, the only two places where it says don't take oaths is right here in Matthew 5, but also in Matthew 23. So Matthew's going to record another time that Jesus talks about it. And in Matthew 23, Jesus was talking to the religious leaders again. And it's near the end of his life, and he really lays it on the line among the religious leaders. And he says this, look in verse 16. He says, woe to you blind guides who say, now he's going to quote what they were saying. If anyone swears by the temple, it's nothing. It's unbindable. It's no big deal. You can swear by the temple. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, now he's bound by his oath. You see the game they're playing? And he kind of calls it out. You guys have this weird thing going. Swear by the temple, no big deal. Swear by the gold of the temple. Now that's a big deal. Or, and he says, you blind fools, for which is greater, the gold of the temple? The gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? He goes, you guys can't even figure it out. And then in verse 18, he says, and you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it's nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that's on the altar, now he's bound by his oath. You see this really weird thing that they're doing religiously here. And Jesus responds in 19. He says, you blind men, not only are you blind yourself, but you're blinding the people. You're leading them in such incredibly terrible ways. He says, you blind men, for what is greater, the gift on the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. He goes, you got it all mixed up. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. See, they have taken what was divine and heavenly and turned it into earthly and corruptible. And he says, man, you guys have got it so messed up, you blind guides. He calls them that many times in the scriptures, you blind guides. You've made a religious game out of this thing. Wow. James understood this too, the brother of Jesus, as he wrote in James chapter 5, he says this, but above all, as he wraps up this whole gospel, this whole letter, he says, but above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. You see, this was really important in their day. And he says, don't be making all these oaths. Don't be playing the game. Somehow this was really powerful for them. And I think we all probably think, well, okay, it's not really applicable to today, right? I mean, it's a different world, different time, different culture. And in some ways that's really true, but I wonder if it's not terribly different. So back to Matthew 5, verse 37. So let your answer be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil. It's malicious. It's slothful. It's manipulative. So let me go back to the big idea for today. Here's the big idea. Your simple and straightforward integrity and honesty reflects what God is like and paves the path for healthy and productive human relationships. So let's kind of apply it. So therefore, what do we do with this? I have several, and I even borrowed much of this from another pastor, and I was talking to him about it. And I thought, wow, these are really good thoughts. Where do you and I get kind of wrong? You know, in our day and age, we have this thing that we call social swearing. It's not cussing, it's social swearing or vows. In days past, we might have said, we tell someone something and we say, no, really, really, cross my heart and hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I mean, we don't say that much anymore, but like that's how important it was. Like, no, really, I'm telling you the truth. Cross my heart, usually kind of a Christian symbol. Cross my heart and hope to die. I mean, if I'm lying, someone kill me, man, I'm going to die, right? Man, stick a needle in my eye. I mean, you know, that's really how important it was. I'm telling you the truth. You know, that's we don't say that much anymore, but even today we say, truthfully, and you think, really, truthfully? Like, you haven't been telling me the truth till now, you know? Well, truthfully, let me tell you now, truthfully, the truth, I think you're kind of strange, you know? And or we say, well, truthfully, or maybe even modern day, kind of a younger generation today say, well, I'm not going to lie. And you go, well, you've been lying before? I mean, I'm not going to lie. You been holding it back? And we kind of tell social lies, huh? We have a social vow. You know, I'm not going to lie. Or how about this one? This is kind of older too, but I like this one. I swear on my mother's grave. You know, you feel like I should be Italian to say that. You know, I swear on my mother's grave and have an accent. But, and you think, well, where did that come from? Well, really, it came from a day and age in history when we were a little more superstitious. and kind of wondered, well, you didn't walk on graves? You know, that when I grew up, you were told never walk over the top of a grave. Really, we don't say that much to people anymore because you never know exactly where everything's lined up in a cemetery. But you say, well, no, really. I mean, man, I swear on my mother's grave because if I lie on top of my mother's grave, she's going to come out of that thing and she's going to wash my mouth out with soap, you know, because lying's not cool. We kind of have this social swearing. We just kind of figure it out, right? I wonder if that's maybe not such a great idea. We just tell the truth. Say yes or say no. How about this one? And this one probably steps on people like my toes. Exaggeration in storytelling. Have you ever told a story and somehow over the years it gets bigger? You know, the fish gets larger. The deer, the horns got more points. You know? You go, oh, yeah, you know, and preachers are totally, you know, they're always expanding the story. And that's probably not truth. We need to tell the truth, simple truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You better help me, God. What about this one? Let's step on our own toes again. How about promising to pray, but? You ever say that? Hey, will you pray for me? Oh, yeah, sure. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, Lord, I haven't prayed for him all week. Well, let me just throw up a quick one. You know? And, okay, now I prayed. You know? Okay, I prayed. I can tell you, yeah, I prayed for you one time out of guilt, you know, and because I just didn't really take it to heart. I didn't really pray for you. What would it look like in a Christian world? You say, hey, would you pray for me? And you go, yeah, probably not. I mean, I'll intend to, and I'd probably want to, and kind of so, but I can't promise you I will. So, hey, if it comes to mind, if the Lord brings it to mind, I will. If he doesn't, I'm not going to pray for you. That'd be weird, right? Or am I saying, but if you're going to say, yeah, I'll pray for you, you probably need to take something out of your pocket and write it down and say, dadgummit, I'm going to pray for you. Or take your phone out, put it in there, and say, man, okay, I committed to pray. I'm going to pray. Rather than this religious thing we do of saying, yeah, I'll pray, and we never pray. But it felt good. And really what we're saying is, well, I really do like you, and I would want to pray for you if I thought about it. I think it's probably worthy of praying for it. I hope it comes to mind. Rather than saying, oh, yeah, I'll pray. Oh. Okay, let's move on to something easier. Okay, how about social invitations? They ever say, hey, let's get together. Yeah, great, okay. And then you just... You know, you don't grab your phone and say, okay, let's make a date. What date would you like to do it? You're like, no, I'm not doing that. You know, like what you're really saying is, I like you. I think you're neat. I think it's great. But my schedule is so stinking full. And this would never happen. So I don't know if I can do this. Wouldn't that be a better answer? Like, man, I'd love to spend the time with you. But man, I don't know if I can commit to it. I don't know if I can do it. I'd love to. Wouldn't that be a better, honest answer? Like, rather than, oh, yeah, let's get together and never talk to you again. Or what about this in evangelism? Sometimes we don't tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. The harder parts of the gospel. The reality of eternity separated from God. We don't go there very easily. Sometimes when we talk about Christ, we kind of paint this picture of the Christian life. And man, is it awesome. It is a white house with a nice picket fence and everything goes great. Guess what? That's not true. And we kind of do this lie. We do evangelism. Or what about this one? Maybe you apply it. Wedding vows. And on the most part in our culture, we think, man, I hope it works. I hope it works. If it doesn't go so great, we gave it a good try. Gave it a good try. And you know, it hadn't turned out to be quite as great as I hoped you had. You're not quite as slick as I hoped you were. You're not as nice. Guess what? We all fall short. We're saying, no, I'm here. This is my solemn vow. Better for worse, sickness and health, richer or poorer. No matter what, I'm staying. And in fact, I'm not even going to give my heart to other people. I'm going to give my heart to you. Wow. Do we say that in our culture? Sometimes it's just, I looked it up this week, famous celebrities that have prenuptials. I couldn't even list them all. And isn't that really the promise? Hey, if it doesn't go quite so great for a million, for 5 million, there was one that it was about $250 million was the prenup. Whoa. Rather than saying, no, it doesn't matter. I'm not leaving for a nickel. I'm not leaving for a zillion. I'm staying. No matter what. Or what about this excuses that we make? You ever made excuses? You learn it early. Yeah, the dog ate my homework. You don't even have a dog. You can't do that anymore because it all goes home on Chromebook. And so you go, oh, I can't do that. Or just the excuses. Yeah, I got really busy. I really actually simply forgot. Or I was afraid. Or whatever. We don't really tell the straight out truth. Just say yes, yes, and no, no. Or what about this one? How about a business agreements? Now, you guys, I don't want to paint the Christian world in a bad way. I don't, because it's not true all across the board. But the numbers of times that I've talked to people and say, I did business with a Christian and it turned out worse than I've ever had with anybody else. Contractor didn't follow through, didn't do their job. They were the most irresponsible. You just think, no. Business agreements, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Look at this in Psalm 15. This is a great passage. They ask a question in the first verse. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He's going to answer this with five or six who's. He's going to say this. He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. The person who does not slander in his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised. They're going to not just kind of excuse everything, but who honors those who fear the Lord. And then look at this, box it. Who swears to his own hurt and does not change. If you're a businessman, you make a commitment to a deal, you sign a contract, and all of a sudden you find out you're going to lose money on the deal. Eat the money. Experience the pain. You committed. You didn't go right. Okay, get it. It's a bummer. But it says, swear to your own hurt. Do not violate your commitment no matter what. Have you ever made a commitment you wish you hadn't, but you made the commitment? Do it. Even if it costs you time, money, effort, whatever, do it. Follow through. You said you would. Do it. I think those are some places in our culture where maybe we could apply this. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Spencer Johnson, he's a physician and author. He wrote a great book called Who Moved My Cheese. He also wrote some children's books, says it this way. Integrity is telling myself the truth. Honesty is telling truth to other people. That we want to be people of integrity and honesty. So, you guys, how are you going to live this out, apply this in your own life? We may not make the same sort of silly, manipulative system of O's like they did then, but we have our own. Where do you need to just be more honest? Tell the truth. Let your yes be yes, but no be no. Now, you guys, on your seats, or most of those seats, there's a card that says O's at the top of it. And it has some questions there about, what about this topic do you need to wrestle with? What do you need to do? I want you to write it down. How willing are you to wrestle with this? How willing are you willing to do it? What are you going to do about it? And is there any other scripture passages? So I want you to take a minute. I want you to just jot down some things. Like, man, how do I need to do this? Where do I lie simply because I'm trying to be nice? But actually nice hurts people when we don't tell the truth. How can I tell the truth without being mean, but be more honest? How could I be more committed and reliable, full of honesty and integrity? You say, hey, man, I don't know if I can commit to that. I'd like to, but I don't know if I can. And he might say, hey, you know what? I'm not very good at making commitments. I kind of like to keep my options open, right? Isn't that what we do? Like, well, yeah, maybe. Which really means probably not, because I want to keep my options open. Well, just say that. You know what? Hey, I'd rather keep my options open. Thanks. I'm not going to say yes to what you invite me to. And that sounds kind of rude, right? But it's more honest than playing the game. Jesus really wanted to say, let's not play games anymore. Let's not do it. It doesn't work in human relationships. It doesn't honor me by the games you play. Knock it off. Don't do it anymore. And I think probably this is a place in our society we could probably do better. And if we were known as people who our yes was yes and our no was no, and we were willing to take the pain of it, it would be so much better. You know, hey, they're nice, but they're honest. They're real. I think it'd be so honoring to the Lord. So fill out that card. Let me pray for us. And I will pray for you. And if you guys will pray for us when we're in Bulgaria, really pray for us. If you want to say, well, I'd probably think of it, maybe, sort of, kind of. It's okay. But don't say you're going to pray for us, if you don't. Because just be honest between you and the Lord. I'm not going to have you raise your hand or anything like that. So let's pray. Father, I don't know why it is, but we have figured out in our world how to kind of play manipulative games with the truth. And it's just weird. And it's so undermining to human relationships. Father, I pray that you would help us to see when we don't, to understand and kind of catch ourselves in the middle of the half-truths that are actually lies that we tell, the exaggerations, the lack of commitment to what we promise, the places where we fall short. Father, help us to be people of honesty and integrity. That we will, when we say yes, we mean it. When we say no, we're willing to live with that, even if it's uncomfortable. Father, give us a kindness in the process. Give us an understanding, a discernment, but also not so kind that we're not truthful. We're not honest. So wherever it might apply in our lives, I pray that you would speak to us. We'd hear you and respond. Because these are qualities that you want. And Father, we've all told lies. We've all done this. We've messed it up. And Father, I thank you that you forgive. But your forgiveness is for the intent of transforming us, of making us more like yourself, more like your Son. And Jesus seemed to value this deeply. He said it many times in his ministry. We've just read two of them in Matthew. That we would be straightforward, believable people with the way we communicate. Father, change our hearts too. Give us a kindness and a love for each other and for people around us that says, I love you too much to lie to you. Even a cute little white lie. I'm not going to do it. And so we desire you. We thank you for even this very simple area of life. It goes so deep in us because our dishonesty runs deep. We don't want to go there anymore. Father, we thank you that you forgive and that you can change us. Use us in this passage in our lives. Use us in this world as a result. And we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.